90 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk, and WSMNRadio.com.
Good morning, Nashua. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths, sponsored by First Principles on WSMN 1590, Nashua's source for news and talk. It's a little bit of a gray morning out there, but definitely I like the temperatures. It's a really nice set of temperatures out there. On the line today, we have with us, because she's a mom and life happens, Anne-Marie Banfield is the education guru at Cornerstone Policy Research, Cornerstone Action. Anne-Marie has been, would you say she's a bird dog? Been definitely going after education in the state of New Hampshire, and in particular at this point in time, Common Core. Welcome to We Hold These Truths, Anne-Marie.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, glad to have you on. Hey, listen, I understand there's a backlash against Common Core. Are you seeing it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, not so much, I think, in New Hampshire just yet. I think New Hampshire is a little bit behind the curve, but definitely in other states, we're seeing it in states like Indiana. And now last night we're seeing some movement in Maine. And yeah, I think as this becomes more and more ingrained in our schools, I think we're going to even see more of it.
So what happened in Maine?
Well, last night there was a release from the Department of Education in Maine that the governor had issued a resolution claiming state sovereignty. And along those lines, as far as the education, I don't think that it particularly rids the state of Common Core, but we're seeing some movement. The Commissioner of Education has resigned, and he's actually going to go with a pro-Common Core organization, but he is leaving the governor's office or that position, and the governor came up with this resolution. I think that what's happening in Maine is I think that you're seeing a governor starting to respond to the grassroots and starting to possibly maybe move in a better direction than what they've been going in. So I don't think that they have completely abandoned Common Core altogether, but I think it's a positive move. I think that, if you look at the resolution itself, he's, claiming state sovereignty, and these are the kinds of things that I think a lot of us want to see, that this is a local issue. This is not a federal issue, and it really shouldn't be with the federal, we shouldn't have the federal government involved in these decisions anyway. So I think that it was a good move, and it was something that was a positive move. I'm hoping that with the commissioner up there who is very pro-Common Core leaving, that we're going to see even better things coming from Maine.
Now, this was Governor LePage, and wasn't he originally for Common Core?
Yeah. I mean, they've been moving full steam ahead with Common Core under this commissioner that he had working for the state of Maine. And I think because of the backlash that they are getting up there from parents and organizations that are fighting it up there, now we're starting to see, instead of pushing this forward, now we're seeing, the Commissioner of Education leaving and then the governor coming out with this resolution. And so that it sends a signal to I think a lot of people watching that maybe they're not going to be pushing forward like they have in the past. And my hope is that they're going to start rescinding and going, doing what Indiana's doing. Indiana, went full forward with Common Core, and now we have the governor there putting the brakes on Common Core. And so we're seeing this in other states. We're seeing other Republican governors and other governors in other states that are saying, wait a second, we need to, relook at this. Maybe this wasn't such a good decision after all.
And just to back up on Common Core, basically it was a program that was sold to boards of education, not even elected officials. So it has no legs through the legislature or anything like that. It
right.
was really private organizations
yeah.
who put it together with some very heavy funding from some private entities.
Yep.
And it looked like it was a government agency, but it really wasn't. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. That's correct. And you know, they try to say that this is a state-led effort. Well, if it was, I don't recall anybody in the state of New Hampshire running on any kind of platform that they were for national standards. So, you know, the past governor, New Hampshire adopted this through the Board of Education, through the appointed Board of Education, not through our elected officials, several years ago. Four board members voted for this. And the Common Core standards are just kind of like benchmarks where a student should be at a certain grade level in like math and English. And even these standards are, you know, they come with controversy because they've been looked at by content experts and they've determined that these standards aren't really that good to begin with. So not only do we have a set of academic standards that are, you know, pretty poor, they're better than what some states had, but they're not as good as what other states have had. So, you know, we don't even have the best standards coming into our schools in New Hampshire, and that's a problem. And I wish I could say that this is all about standards, but this is so much more. I mean, we're seeing the micromanaging of our teachers and how they are to teach and what they are to teach. And this is going so far above and beyond what the federal government should be doing when it comes to our classrooms. And, you know, I'm hearing from teachers all around the country that, you know, they're being evaluated on how they teach. And this is coming from the top. This isn't coming from, you know, their school administrators. This is what the administrators are being told to do.
Exactly. Well, Anne-Marie Banfield from Cornerstone Policy Research, and in studio we actually have Doris Hohensey from New Hampshire Educators, Families for Education. I always get it wrong. One of these days, I guess I'm going to have to imprint it on your forehead so that when I look at you, I can say it right. But at any rate, Doris Hohensey from New Hampshire Families for Education is joining us in studio, and Anne-Marie, it's really interesting that you bring up that the teachers are being told how to teach. I recently had a presentation done by a local school board, and they actually had, and this was at the very crust of, maybe it wasn't because they've been working on this for about 3 years. So it would be under Common Core adoption through the state. But they actually had this three-ring binder that was about 4 inches thick that included all of the levels of what was going to be taught, and it would be opened on every teacher's desk to see if you were at that point in your classroom. It did not make any sense at all and takes away all of the creativity and the common knowledge that, you know, the common sense that a teacher would have, it would seem to me.
Well, and some of the teaching methods that they're requiring these teachers to use have been tried before, and studies have shown that a lot of these methods that they're using actually put students behind over a certain amount of time when they use these methods. And I'm going to give you an example. I just had this discussion with a teacher who's being evaluated and being told that she has to go through this professional development so she can learn how to become a facilitator of learning rather than an instructor. So what we're going to start seeing is we're going to start seeing these teachers facilitate in their classrooms instead of instruct. And what that means is that, you know, the students are going to be working together in groups. And so you're going to see a lot of group projects, group learning. And what happens in this is nothing new. I mean, I've been hearing about this for years and years and years. I've had parents complain to me about, you know, my child's teaching this child in this group because my child, you know, seems to be the gifted one. And so everybody comes to that student. And then these, you know, parents are complaining, why are we paying the teacher if my child has to teach the other kids in the group? And then they complain about how it brings their students down because when you're working in a group like that, that's what's happening. The bright child is ending up being pushed kind of back, you know, not able to advance.
Well, they're not being challenged. You're not stretching them on the other end. What you're doing is you're holding them down while other children who are not as on the same level are being pushed up. So what you're really doing is moderating everybody in the middle.
Exactly. And what happens, you know, I'm a math tutor, so what happens a lot of times is, you know, you have these kids spending time trying to figure out math problems instead of being instructed on how to do it. It's very, very time-consuming. And, you know, let's face it, you know, you put kids together, a lot of times they're going to get distracted. They're not going to be working on academics. They're going to be
So, our kids today are much, much smarter than that. And they really concentrate and focus, right?
Exactly. So that's recreation. A lot of the problems that, you know, when they've done studies about, you know, with this kind of learning method in the classroom, these are the things that they see. This is why a study is done, and this is why they say that, you know, if your kids are in this kind of atmosphere, it actually puts them at a disadvantage. And I have many studies that I've looked at that I have, and yet this is what is being pushed on these teachers now. And so if this is going to put a kid behind, if this is going to not be helpful in their learning, now we have these teachers being evaluated. And they're being told, this is what you have to teach, this is the way you have to do it. And if these kids are falling behind, now we're going to evaluate you, even though we basically handed you a prescription exactly how to do it. The teachers are going, wait a second, this is not what I think is a good idea for my students. You're going to make me do all this, and then you're going to evaluate me based on how well they perform. Or if they're not performing, guess what? I now get evaluated on this. I mean, it's just a crazy system. And again, this is supposed to be Common Core standards. This is supposed to be about academic standards, and yet we're seeing schools changing their grading practices. You know, nobody's going to fail anymore.
Well,
you're saying that sending them dictate these teaching methods.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, not only the teaching methods, but the grading standards and et cetera. And what it really does is make it impossible for mom and dad to understand what it is. And what it really does accomplishes is drive this huge wedge between the child and the parent, so the parent can no longer communicate with the child about how they're learning, but also in other areas too. And it sends this very subtle message that mom and dad are stupid. They just don't understand.
Right, right. Yeah. You see that often. The other thing is they're downplaying guidance, which is individual assistance towards your personal goals, to this reliance on psychologists. They're trying to put that in the rules process, where you have a school comprehensive school psychologist program where it's data-driven decision-making. So based on Johnny's poor test results, they're going to give him therapy.
And I hate to say this, because this is my mind at work and seeing all these little lines being drawn from point A to point B to point C, is that, okay, if he needs therapy, then somewhere down the line his constitutional rights are going to be affected, because now we're collecting all of this data that goes nowhere or anywhere. Through the computers, because all testing and assessments will be online. Okay. So now it goes to anybody, including medical facilitators. And because they are the psychologists, they have that medical sound to them. Now they've decided that Johnny needs, assistance in this particular area because they might have a psychological problem. I can foresee, especially with the bill that was recently signed that says to the military member, if you have had any mental
illness,
you have had PTSD or anything along that line, that you no longer are allowed to carry a firearm. And so now we are infringing upon your basic constitutional rights. Not to mention the fact that we've already trampled on the parents' right to oversee the education of their children.
They'll have a dossier on every child before he even reaches majority.
Right. So that's how we will disarm America.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, that's a good
sorry.
Point. And you also look at, you know, what happened with the NSA and what's happened with the IRS. All this information is being collected on these students that can go anywhere, you know, because no longer do you need parental permission to share this information. You're right. All of this is being collected. And with the latest scandals with the IRS, that should just pretty much wake up every parent. And I'll be honest with you, it is waking parents up. I am getting emails from parents, and I got a phone call. I talked to a lady last night out of Londonderry who is asking me, how do I opt my kids out of these assessments? Because she's concerned about all the information that they're going to be asking about her child through these assessments. And where is this information going? You have a little kid or even a preteen answering these questions, and who knows if they're even going to, give good answers. They may think, I can't tell you how many kids have taken those surveys, and they just, answer with silly answers. So this information, even if it's, you don't even know if they're answering correctly, can go out. And where is this going? I would have a real problem with my kids being assessed in any public school in this state from this point forward. And any parent out there listening had better think real hard about what that information 10 years can do to that child down the road. And you don't know if this information is accurate about your child. They're asking questions about your family. Some of this stuff was asked before. I mean, we've had questions on the NAEP, which is a national test, that have been about, do you have a washer and dryer in your home? Silly questions like that. But in the past, you've always had privacy protections. You had privacy protections through the FERPA law that said that you needed a parental consent to share this information. That has been eviscerated. President Obama has rewritten those rules. You no longer need a parent's permission to send that information out. This is now being collected pre-K through college, not just K through 12. So this information can now be shared with the Department of Labor. Now, when your student 10 years from now goes for a job and that information gets out there to that employer, maybe there's something that they did behavior-wise when they were in eighth grade. You bring up not owning a fire weapon. What if they, answer a question on a test that is not politically correct? Where is this information going? I mean, I don't have all the answers, but this is very concerning to me as a parent, and it's starting to be concerning to other parents, too. New York, they're looking at legislation to bring back the privacy protections, because that's how many parents up there are concerned about this.
Absolutely, and the interesting thing is that I think it was Dr. Catherine Albrecht was saying the other day that they now can put, I forgot how many terabytes, it's like 3 or 4 terabytes on something that's the size of an eraser, the end of a pencil eraser, that you can store that. Okay, so they're building this huge facility in Utah to store data. How much data do they need? And you talk about being upset because the National Security Administration has been reading your emails and listening to your phone calls. What about all of this information they're collecting on our children?
Right, and the parents, I had one parent from Wyndham contact me, and she was talking about the assessments that her son in seventh grade will be taking. And she mentioned that, they're not just going to assess him on his knowledge. They're going to assess him on how well he works with other kids in a group. So that's very subjective, and that's non-academic. And so here she is looking at this going, I don't care how my son works in a group right now. I need to know, does he know the material? And that's the kind of, and so if he's not working well in a group, how are they going to label him? Where is that information going? Is this going to follow him? There's so many unanswered questions, and we're now starting to use these kids as guinea pigs in this big experiment that I think 5-10 years down the road, everybody's going to be going, what did we do? Why did we do this? This didn't even make sense.
You've also got that Senate Bill 48 that just said they're not supposed to evaluate students on anything but skills and knowledge. They took dispositions out. So here we have state law saying no, and then we're being trampled by some waiver agreement between our department and the U.S. Department. Does that supersede our state law? How is that interplaying? Our legislature wrote that law and enacted that law a day before the waiver went through. So the U.S. Department had rewritten that to suit them, And yet it's being trampled at the same time.
So the only way around that then is for the average person who's listening to get involved and stand up and say, you are violating our state law.
We need
and they need to know that.
Expanded privacy protections. We need expanded exemptions for school districts and for individuals. And
right, and, right now the Board of Education has just proposed rules. There are over 80 pages of rules that they're going to impose on our schools, and one of them is the College and Career Readiness Standards. And they put dispositions back in the rules. And so parents need to go and either tell this Board of Education no, or send them an email, send them something in writing and say, no, this is, you're not going to do this. This is what our appointed Board of Education is doing right now. They're trying to put this into the rules. So it is up to every parent to contact the Board of Education and say, no, my child's dispositions do not need to be assessed. And Doris is absolutely right. When that bill was being discussed in the House Education Committee, both the Democrats and the Republicans had a serious problem with assessing dispositions because they want to know what the heck does that mean? You know, what is this? You know, and so they looked at that word. They came up with what, you know, they thought maybe the government would be assessing them on. And they even asked the State Department of Education, what does this mean? They didn't like, I guess, the definition. And so they rewrote that term in the bill. So they have a serious, serious problem with the word disposition. And now we have the Board of Education putting it right back into the rules, completely disregarding what our legislators did with SB 48.
Right. So we have to remind our legislators of what the board of the department are doing. The department also created a new division. The statute gives them four divisions. They changed one division, expanded the mission, which is in statute, to a far broader mission than what the legislature gave them. And they're just making law on their own. So we can complain to the board, but we also have to get our 400 representatives and our state senators back to the task of overseeing what's going on and reining that runaway rogue division in.
Absolutely. Well, Anne-Marie, I know that you have to run, but I appreciate the fact that you called in to talk about Common Core with us, and we will talk about the September 17th. It's coming up right around the corner. I know that you're very involved with that, and from Cornerstone Policy Research, we say thank you.
All right, well, thanks for having me on, and thanks for covering the subject. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So on the 17th, now that I've mentioned it, Doris Hohensee mm-hmm. from New Hampshire Families for Education, what's happening?
We're going to have three speakers from out of state discuss Common Core in detail, because when the department presents it to the school boards, it's enlightening, but it's very limited. And this is going to be some of the information that they omitted. Like, I was up at a school board hearing, a meeting in Alton, and it came out that implementing Common Core standards in the school is not, your funding isn't tied to that. Whereas in Manchester, they're convinced that their $21 million is tied to whether or not they implement. So the board didn't vote to implement, and yet the superintendent, Manchester, is saying, we're going to implement them anyway.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just crazy. So when we were up there, the Alton board discovered that it's the state standards, the state assessments that are based on the money. So if you don't do the smarter balance assessments, which violate SB 48, which violates state law, then you don't get your money. So here you have, you know, you have all these districts, they don't know what they're doing because there's no transparency. There's also an exemption process. In Alton, they assess, well, what if we don't implement the standards and we don't take the assessments? They discovered that there's an exemption policy, but nobody knows how to go about that or what the rules or criteria for qualifying, because there's even another district that wants to take Smarter Balance out of the high school and go to the SATs.
Okay.
So
I'm my head's spinning and I'm not sure where we're going, but I did hear something about funding. Where's the funding for Common Core coming from?
There's Title I money that's tied directly to the state assessments. If you don't take the state assessments, the smarter balance in 2015. Up to then, it's the kneecaps. Then you risk your federal funding. You do not lose it. You risk it. Then you have to go through this exemption process because the board has promised that all the districts will behave. And if they don't, then the board has to renegotiate their contract with the U.S. Department of Education because they made the promise. The districts didn't. They're separate corporations. And it's interesting because the waiver says all the districts will implement the standards by a certain time. There's going to be three phases. And yet the department runs.